how God prospers the spiritual side. God is not a magician. God is a miracle worker.
There is a proper connection with God that influences prosperity. That a person can seek God and God will actually make the person prosper. In Christ, the core of Christ's work for us is salvation. But you cannot say it's only salvation alone. If it is the new covenant, it will have all the blessings of the old. That's simple.
Prosperity is not just for the sake of flamboyance. It is for a purpose.
Yes. Let me tell you something. Even Satan prospers for a purpose. And if you are not intentionally pushing the purpose of Christ forward with your wealth, you are pushing the purpose of the devil with your wealth. You are not neutral. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Tonight, I want to talk about how God prospers the spiritual side. Like you know, we've been talking about money in our local church services, and we spent last week Sunday emphasizing on the natural things to do to prosper. The natural things that must be in place for prosperity to happen. Are you with me? But today I want to talk about the spiritual side. And so I'll be listing them out in points and explaining them. I tried to do an explanation of them during the all-night gaze that we had, but it wasn't as effective as I planned. I don't know how it was in Port Harcourt, brother, but in Abuja, by 4 a.m., the wind of sleep was blowing. Thank you, Lord. I can't seem to get over it. The door to the future is opened. The door to the future is opened. Don't be distracted by what you see now. God is humorous. I was praying for the service, and God was talking to me about something else completely. He came and asked me, what do you think the next 20 years will look like? I said, Baba, which kind of question is this one? I said, this service, Lord, I want you to touch your people. He said, I have touched them already. What do you think the next 20 years will look like? I said, I don't know. He said, let me show you some pictures. Will they come? I'm telling you. So, what are the things to do to prosper from the realm of the spirit? Now, please, the things we talked about, the natural things we talked about, they are very, very important. The reason is, no matter what is done in the spirit, there must be a natural way through which what God has done in the spirit plays out in the physical. Are you with me? There must be a natural way. God is not a magician. God is a miracle worker. So even though Jesus wants to feed 5,000 people with food, it will not fall from heaven. He must start with somebody's 5 loaves of... Are you with me? He must multiply something. So the anointing must come upon something. And so, the things we talked about, they are very important. Very important. However, that alone is not enough. You must understand the spiritual, the supernatural side to prosperity. And the first thing I talked about was a proper connection with God. Say after me, a proper connection with God. 3 John chapter 1 from verse 2, he says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So that means the prosperity of your soul will affect your prosperity and your health. Now, if you have been following the teaching series and the train of thought of this ministry, you know we are not trying to put prosperity above the work of Christ. Are you with me? We are not trying to exalt money or mammon above the work of Christ. We use 4 teachings to establish that.
But you see, you can drag a truth until it becomes a lie. You can stretch a truth until it becomes a lie. There are some people, in trying to correct the excesses of what they call the prosperity gospel, make it as though God has nothing to do with your prosperity. They will tell you things like, if you want salvation, come to Christ. But if you want prosperity, go and hustle. Is that what the Bible teaches? No. If it's all about hustle, there should not be scriptures like, it is vain to wake up late, to wake up early and sleep late only to eat the bread of sorrow. Because it's possible to hustle and get nothing. It's possible to say, I want to lock in and be locked out. Are you with me? If it's all about your hustling and your hard work and your business acumen, there should not be verses like, the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. Not by power, not by might. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Are you with me? If you don't know this, you have not lived long enough. If you have lived long enough, you will see people who everything was right, but it did not play out right. Are you with me? This life is deep. Oh. Praise the Lord. So number one, the proper connection with God. Look at Psalm chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Are you seeing that? In his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall. So I'm showing you how there is a proper connection with God that influences prosperity. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now let me show you another one that is even more direct. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 26. The Bible says, and from verse 1, 2 Chronicles 26 from verse 1, you know, preparing for this service, the Lord mentioned to me, he said, I hope the church has not forgotten that one of our names is called the Perfecting Church. Some of you don't know that. Let me remind you that one of the names of this ministry is called the Perfecting Church, meaning, if we don't do anything, we come and learn about Christ. We learn the word of God. Are you with me? The Bible says, then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, please read on with me, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. Jump to verse 5. And he sought God. Everybody read with me. 1, 2, 3, go. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Read it again. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. You see, people have come to believe so much in the power of the devil above the power of God. They believe that a person can save the devil, do blood money, do all kinds of things, and God will make them prosper. But they don't believe that a person can seek God and God will actually make the person prosper. And so, we have to teach what the Bible talks says about it. We will not let social media disciple this generation. If you like, drag us, drag me from now to tomorrow. I will say what the Bible says. I'm not going to say what the Bible did not say. Of course, there are people in trying to also present God's perspective on prosperity. They go the extra mile. They start saying things that they should not be saying. Saying, it's money that took Jesus to the cross. How now? How? As how now? Are you with me? It's simple Bible logic. God prospered people before Jesus Christ came. He prospered Abraham. He prospered David. He prospered Solomon. Are you with me? He prospered Isaac. So, Jesus' coming cannot be all for the sake of prosperity. Are you with me? The Bible says there is an old covenant and a new covenant. If the old covenant was better, he would not have had a need to bring the new covenant. So for there to be a new covenant, and if the new covenant will be better than the old covenant, it must contain the good things that the old covenant had. Do you get it? So that means in Christ, the core of Christ's work for us is salvation. But you cannot say it's only salvation alone. If it is the new covenant, it will have all the blessings of the old. Are you with me? It's that simple. You cannot say an app, you improve your app from, help me, iOS what now? Okay. Let's assume iOS number 6 had a feature. Then iOS 26 no longer has the feature again. Ah. There's a problem. If you are improving on it, are you with me? So you see there, as long as he saw the Lord, God made him to prosper. See, let me tell you something. Don't let anybody deceive you. Even the people that are telling you, forget about God, go and hustle. You don't know what they are doing. You don't know. You don't know. Even the ones that claim they are an atheist, I am an atheist, you don't know. We did not know that Steve Jobs usually went to a Buddhist temple until he died. We did not know. He had a quote unquote, no, they don't call him pastor. He had a priest. They were giving him Zen meditations to do. You don't know. You will not find that, of all those, but they don't talk about God. See, let me tell you something. If it's in this world, there is nobody prospering on a high level that doesn't have spiritual backing. Did you hear what I said? There is nobody on a high level that does not have spiritual backing. It's just, it could either be God or the devil. I was studying a documentary some months ago. See, the Bible says, they that know their God, they shall be strong and do exploits. They that know their God. The problem is, there are too many people who are strong in darkness than the people who are strong in light. People in light, some of us, we are just careless. If a babalawo tells his disciple, you want to blow for the next 300 days, wake up by 4 a.m. Do like this. Do like this. Do like this. Do like this. Make sure you do it for 1 hour. Am I clear? They will follow it. Tell an average churchgoer, wake up by 5:30 and maintain your devotion for 300 days. I know Fito. You know, Kai, I just tire. they will give 1,000,001 excuses. And that's why, you see the generation, we have to fight. Many young people in the generation do not know what it is to have supernatural experiences when you see the hand of God in a very strong way. Because they've not even known how to follow God in a very strong way. We are too, I don't know the word to use. And when I'm saying young people, I'm not just talking about Gen Z. Even millennials, I've even seen people 45, 50, the way they're acting, I'm like, you are too soft. There are some things you see in the Bible, you ask yourself, was it a lie? I can prove it to you, it was not a lie. It's just that there are many dimensions in God, you will determine where you will walk. If you say you will not pass a certain level, God would push you. When he says, okay, that's where you want to stay. He won't force you. He won't judge you. Are you with me? He will just walk with you at that level. There are others. They are doing things on higher planes. So number one is what? Proper connection. Say it again. Proper connection with God. Praise the Lord. And now, under that, let me also put this. I said it during the whole night, but let me say it. Please, if you really want to prosper, let your hands be clean. Let your hands be clean. I'm telling you. Remove your hand from iniquity. I'm telling you. It may pain you at the beginning. You may lose some things. Like Joseph, you may lose some things. But if you want to really prosper, let your hands be clean. Do you know that if Joseph slept with Potiphar's wife, we will not know about him? Joseph would even share a testimony that God has favored me. You know, in my Oga's house, I have been promoted to the chief baker. Right now, I'm the one in charge of everything. But you will not know that he compromised somewhere. Many times when you see many people end up their journey in average, there are things you don't know. Hey, years ago, in this compound, when I was still Port Harcourt, a man came to see me. And I've had that experience at least 4 times. Big businessman. He said, sir, everything crashed. I laid hands to pray for. As I laid my hands like this, I had a vision. I saw him having sex with a strange girl. I said, hey! I removed my hand from him. I said, you slept with somebody and so person, and since then, all your businesses crashed. He said, everywhere I go, this is what they tell me. This is what they tell me. Another one, it was not me that prayed for the person. It was a pastor friend of mine. Laid hands. Okay, there are children here. I want to say something. I think I want to say strong. Laid hands on the man. The man said, this is happening. The man said, shouting and moaning like a cow. The demon in him was shouting like a cow. When he was finally delivered, they asked him, what did you do? He now said, actually, his girlfriend broke up with him. And now, since from the first day he had whatever with her, everything started going down. Everything started going down. When he could not take it again, he came for that meeting. The lady broke up with him before the meeting, but he said he will stay for the meeting. Do you know that after the deliverance, the lady started calling him back? The lady started calling him back. Don't worry, we can come back together. We can continue from where we stopped. Then the pastor told him, that girl is a witch. You don't know. She's a witch. She has to... Oh, I want to say something, but it's heavy. I will stop. He said, that lady will call you back very soon to continue. Those of you that any small place, just say, you enter. Anywhere you enter, you just enter. Before you know, you are doing body count. We are talking about somebody's level. One! In the university, as a student, I can't tell you how many people I casted out demons from. There was a lady we prayed for, casted out a demon from her. She started confessing that the guy that broke up with her, she put his destiny on a necklace on her chest. So as we caused the necklace, she was shouting, no, you have freed him. You have freed him. Can you imagine? And we are living in a generation where people, they'll just be playing with sex anyhow. You don't know what's going on. Are you with me? There's a strong connection between purity and prosperity. There's a strong connection. Please, if anything I'm saying makes you feel bad, I'm not trying to judge you. I'm just saying it because I love you. I'm saying it as someone who has been around the spirit realm for a while. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Number 2, prophetic purpose. Okay, before I go to prophetic purpose, go back to that 2 Chronicles 26 from verse 16. So you know verse 5, we read, as long as he saw the Lord, God made him to prosper. Look at verse 16. But when he was strong, so that you will get it, look at verse 15. Read verse 15 to verse 16. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by calling men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Are you seeing this? Let me tell you something. Before I say it, I pray for you. You receive marvelous help. Amen. Let me say it again. Receive marvelous help. Amen. Let me say it again. Receive marvelous help. Amen. From this meeting, marvelous help becomes your new reality. Amen. Can I be honest with you? Anybody you see great today was helped. Whether it is politically, whether it is financially, anybody you see in any level of greatness was helped. They may not just agree publicly, but they were helped. Somebody helped somebody. Are you getting me? Somebody helped somebody. Who do you want to talk about? If you have read about Bill Gates, who helped him? The chairman of IBM. His mother was on the board of IBM. They had a lot of computers they were manufacturing and needed somebody to do software. The boy had been preparing and building his prototype. The mother said, excuse me, sir. I know you are looking for someone to install softwares for IBM computers. Can my son try? Can you give him a chance? Do you know that if that chairman said no, you will not know Bill Gates today? Then the man said, okay, let's try. And the thing worked. Quickly, she gathered a contract. For every IBM software, a percentage is paid to Bill Gates. It was in the mother's office they set up the boys' company, Microsoft. So this one you want to kill yourself, you need help. I pray for you. You receive help in Jesus' name. So he was marvelously up until he became strong. Now, verse 16 says, and when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. So there is a way a person can be lifted up to his destruction. I have seen it many times. I have seen people in my little work of ministry. We prayed for them. When they had nothing, we prayed for them. God lifted them. When they became lifted, they started giving excuse. Where are you? No, pastor. Some of them started misbehaving. I pray for you, as God lifts you, your heart will not become strong. As God lifts you, your heart will not become strong to destruction. You will not be lifted up to your destruction. Amen. So number two, prophetic purpose. Now, prophetic purpose refers to the fact that God prospers people for a purpose. Prosperity is not just for the sake of flamboyance. It is for a purpose. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swear unto thy fathers as it is this day. And if you were in that all night, remember I explained that when he says to establish the covenant was referring to what he promised to do with Abraham. When God said to Abraham, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And God was referring to the fact that through Abraham, he's going to bring forth Christ. And through Christ, all men will be saved. Are you with me? And the Bible lets us know that when he says in thy seed, he was referring to Christ. Are you with me? You see this in Galatians chapter 3. Not to seed as of many, but seed as of one. So when God was saying, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed, that covenant he was making with Abraham was that through thee, I will bring forth the lineage of Christ. I will bring forth Christ. And through Christ, all men will receive salvation. So when he was saying that God is the one that gives you power to make wealth, that he will establish his covenant, he's saying that the purpose of wealth is to establish the salvation plan in Christ Jesus. Yes. Let me tell you something. Even Satan prospers for a purpose. And if you are not intentionally pushing the purpose of Christ forward with your wealth, you are pushing the purpose of the devil with your wealth. You are not neutral. It's just that you may not be doing it consciously. You are not neutral. If you don't consciously push the purpose of Christ forward, you will be pushing the purpose of the devil forward. Let me ask you a question, so you will see what I'm saying. How many of you watched Disney when you were growing up? Pocahontas. Don't wait. Are you telling me everybody here was a Jepako? Yeah, you put like you put in on no TV. Okay, you watch Cartoon Network. Let me see your hand. So if you watched cartoon, my God. Okay, you watched Tom and Jerry, and then you watch Disney now. Do you know Disney 2 years ago unveiled their 100-year plan? They have been working on that plan for the past 100 years, and they launched it 2 years ago, where all the favorite superstars and characters that they've had in the last 100 years, they will make them gay and lesbians beginning from 2 years ago. So that means if you use your money to buy any Disney cartoon, you sponsor that agenda, you just don't know. Am I talking to you? You sponsored it. You just don't know. If you ever subscribe to Netflix, I'm not saying destroy your subscription. No. But if you ever subscribe to Netflix, you sponsored the LGBTQ agenda. You just don't know. Are you following me? So if you are not intentionally pushing the work of God forward, if you are not intentionally ensuring that the resources God gives you goes into the sphere of the gospel, whether you like it or not. If you ever bought Coca-Cola, eh? I'm telling you. Do you know the kind of things most of these companies are pushing? Do you know the kind of agendas they are pushing all over the world? Many of the agendas they are sponsoring is to destroy the name of Christ in the nations of the earth. I am telling you, if you are not intentionally establishing the covenant to get souls to be saved, your resources will sponsor the work of the devil. It's just that you will not know. People met Jesus in heaven. Jesus gave a story and he told them, when I was poor, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. Then they were saying, when were you poor that we clothed you? When Jesus now said, when you did it to your neighbor, you did it to me. In the same way, people will go to hell and Satan will say, you helped me. And they will ask, how did we help you? Say, hey. That time we asked you to share the things of the gospel, you said no, you will share. You don't know what is going on. I was talking to a pastor, to our guest minister yesterday. He was telling me, do you know what one of the dangers social media has created? There is a strong hate for the church now than more than ever. It was sponsored. It was sponsored. I want to say some things, but they are heavy. For security reasons, I cannot say some things. It was sponsored. There were people in this country that were paid to declare, to talk about atheism. They paid people, international bodies paid influencers in this country to talk about atheism. You don't know. And then when we talk about Christians prospering and sponsoring the work of the gospel, some people are like, you know, we are based in Abuja. Do you know what it is to get a space for church? There are spaces you go to. They will tell you, or God said, we don't give church. You see, you can do anything. You can do nice club. You can do, but you see church? No. No. Some of them, you know what they even do? They will even look for churches that are using event spaces. Go and take it over. Have you ever asked yourself, why is there a serious battle against Christianity? When you hear that bandits go to kill people, why is there always church they are burning? Have you ever asked yourself why? Is Christianity the only religion outside Islam in this world? When last did we hear that they killed a group of traditional worshippers? Eh? When last did we hear that? Why is it only Christians that they are born in their worship centers? It is because there is something about the name of Christ. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
There is something they know about the name of Christ. It is only Christianity, that has the power to topple all those their false practices. They know. Let me tell you something. They know that if Christians can keep on praying consistently, all the work of darkness and the things they are doing will scatter. If you remember the time of Daniel, this is not my preaching, but I will say it. If you remember the time of Daniel, they just wanted Daniel to stop praying for 30 days and then he can continue. And Daniel said no. Do you remember the story? That they told Daniel to stop praying, that everybody will pray to Nebuchadnezzar's God. Just for 30 days. Do you know that if the entire church does not pray for 30 days, do you know that it can give the devil a window that we may not be able to recover for 50 years? There was a documentary that was trending. What's his name? Pastor James Aladiran. And one guy who was once with the Kingdom of Darkness. There are many things he was saying there. A church did a prayer and fasting for 7 months. And they said that prayer and fasting has stopped the demonic oppression in that place for the next 7 years. Let me say this one. I'll just say it once. One of the major reasons Nigeria... Do you know that Nigeria ranks between the first 1 to 3 nations of Christian persecution globally? Do you know? Last year alone, 7,000 Christians were killed. 7,000. 7,000.
And that is what the media said. It could have been more. One of the major reasons why Nigeria is the most persecuted is because this is the pulpit of the world. Well, so you have to make up your mind early. Am I going to, when God prospers me, am I going to sponsor the work of God or just spend it on flamboyance? Just to show them that I don't buy Benz. Is that your plan? If you think of survival alone, you will not survive. If you think of significance, you will survive. Think of something more than just survival. Prophetic purpose. Why do you think God used Joseph and prospered Joseph? You know, if you study Genesis 39, the Bible says, and Joseph was a prosperous man. He was a slave, but he was a prosperous man. Why was he a prosperous man? God had to prosper Joseph. Nothing must happen to Joseph. Because Joseph will be the one that God will use to preserve Israel in the time of famine. Are you with me? And the nation of Israel is the nation God has chosen through which the Messiah will come. So Joseph was preserving the Messiah. So eventually, all that God is doing is for his salvation plan. All that God is doing is for his plan for salvation, for men to receive the gospel and be saved. You see this world? It has no foundation. One day, everything will be burnt away and all that will be left is, were you in Christ? Did you sponsor the work of Christ? Were you part of God's plan on the earth? Look at the world now. Where is it going? Where is this world going? Praise the Lord. So that is prophetic purpose. These two must be in place. So, these two. You want God to prosper you supernaturally. These two must be in place. The problem is that sometimes Christians or churchgoers are so self-centered that you know what God has to do? Many times God has to not even shift prosperity to unbelievers that will do his work. I wish I can explain this thing more. Unbelievers that will do his work. There are some people God needs to put in politics for Nigeria to be better. You will see churchgoers, once they reach there, they will compromise. So God may have to bring somebody who is not a... Are you with me? Who is not a, will I say, a nice guy. This one, I will say it, you may not like it. If this country must go forward, some people will have to die. Some people will die. Eh? And there has to be somebody that will say, you will die. I'm telling you. Because let me tell you, the people that have vowed that before the country goes forward, they will die. They over their dead body before you move forward. Can God count on you that if he sponsors you, if he puts resources in your hand, you will? Can God count on you? I want to ask you a question. People that are terrorists, where do they get ammunition from? Do you know how much one bullet costs? Do you know? Who knows? People in our Air Force. Who knows? It's expensive, right? I have a son who is in the police. That even reminds me. Many of you, you need to get into all this. Get into politics. Are you hear what I'm saying? Don't just stay there and say it's a dirty game. Is a dead. Enter. Register. Be a card carrying member. Enter. Don't say we just need a Christian president. Let me tell you, one Christian president amongst evil wolves cannot do anything. Please, am I talking to you? We need the church to enter into those places in mass. I have a spiritual son who I've been declaring over him. You will become the IG of police. You will become. I've been praying for him. He was telling me, is it that place everywhere you turn? Sadiq. Everywhere you turn, give me those their names now. Ahmed, Musa, you turn here. Kudirat, you turn here. Christians, we shy away. Enter police, enter the Air Force, enter the army, enter. And you are entering with an agenda. Praise the Lord. So, number one is what? A proper connection with God. Number two, prophetic purpose. Number three, sacrificial giving. Ah, I took time to explain this one during the all night. And I'm very careful with this one because I know that it has been bastardized in many circles. But the Bible is the Bible. Are you with me? The Word of God is the Word of God. So, I said some things that you may not have heard popularly. I said, number one, in the Bible, we don't primarily give to receive. You may not have heard that before. We don't give to receive. We give because we have received. Let me say it again. We don't give to receive. We give because we have received. Meaning, if you come to God and you just think, anything I want to get. You know, there's a teaching that was written some time ago that for you to receive anything from God, you must first have given it to God as a seed. What you have not given as a seed, you cannot receive as a harvest. There's an element of truth, but it's not complete. Because what did you give to receive salvation? Tell me, what can you give? Or what could you have given to receive eternal life in Christ? Are you getting me? So God's idea of us giving is that we came with nothing. We came to Him empty, and He gives us out of what He has given us, we can now give. Remember, He's the one that gives seeds to the sower and bread to the eater. So even the seed you are going to give, He's the one that gave you. Are you getting me? Whatever you're going to give, He's the one that gave you. So why do we give? Number one, we give because we love God. Number two, we give because we are born of God. If you are born of a giving God, you must be a giving man. You cannot claim that you are connected to the most generous being who is God and you are not generous also. You cannot be Aradite, Akanchi, the rock that can never be moved. No. It's no. You cannot claim you are connected to God and be that way. It's not possible. He that spared not his son, but gave his own son for us all. Are you with me? So, giving in the kingdom of God is not a transactional thing. We are not trying to buy God. We give primarily as devotion to God. You will see Romans chapter 8 verse 32. He said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? I will talk more about this tomorrow when we talk about Jireh, Jehovah Jireh. Glory. Glory! He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely? Freely, say after me, freely. Give us all things. Are you with me? Do you know what this means? It means that whether or not you are a seed sower or a giver, God is committed to taking care of you. Even if you say you don't want to, God will provide your needs. You will have food to eat. You will survive. Are you with me? You will go through life. God will be showing up for you. Things like that. But this same Bible that told us that God freely gives us all things also tells us about sacrificial giving as a divine key for abundance. So if you want to go beyond the level of just surviving and freely receiving all things, he tells us, thank God I'm not the one that wrote the Bible. Let me show you from the Bible. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8. Sorry, from verse 6. Let's start from verse 6. God's word has shown that sometimes God prospers his people in response to their sacrificial giving. And many times, God will call for the sacrifice himself. Everybody, read with me. This is Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 6, right? 1, 2, 3, go. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. What is this? I want to do something. Oh yeah, Christocentrics. What is this? Verse 7. Every man as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. But he already told you,
He that gives bountifully will receive bountifully. He that gives sparingly will receive. Are you with me? Now, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. You see, this grace of all sufficiency, it is in response to the giving he talked about. And God is able to make all grace. If you will see yourself coming to the level of all grace for all sufficiency, he's telling you, he that gives bountifully. Are you with me? He that gives bountifully, we receive bountifully. He that gives sparingly, we receive sparingly. Let me tell you something here. In your life, don't wait for scarcity to train yourself on this. Make it a practice. And if you are listening to God, God will begin to train you, to tell you, do this, do this. In fact, it has become a practice in our church once every year, or at least twice every year, we will give sacrificially. It's part of your devotion. Today is not the time to show. It's part of your spiritual training. You know that kind of giving that it will touch you. Hey. Psalm 126. Like Pastor said the other day, that's one of the ways God proves that your trust is not in money. Where you give sacrificially. You say, I for use and arrange, I'm still buy that, you know. But then, you give it to the Lord. Are you with me? Now, I gave some disclaimer. I am not saying give your school fees. Anybody that is asking you to give your school fees is not nice. It's not, that's wicked. I'm not saying give money for your operation. Are you with me? No, don't do that. It's not, as a pastor, you must pastor people with wisdom, because people want to, I shared that story during the whole night. Their mother needed to do an operation. They needed 800,000 for the operation. They had saved up 300 and the money was not complete. They came and met the pastor. Now, pastor, money is not complete. Pastor said, if it's not enough to meet your need, turn it to a seed. And then told them to give the money as a seed and ignore the operation. Mommy will be fine. Mommy died. They brought police and arrested the man. Because the boy convinced. And you don't do that, especially because you are the one that had faith for that. You sow your own. Don't tamper with what everybody's doing. Not everybody has the same faith you have. Are you with me? Are you with me? So if I was the pastor, what I would say is, okay, this is what the church can do to support you. You will have 300, Abi. Church will add 200. Let's go and look for the others. Do the operation. Are you with me? Then come back and give praise to God. However, it's still in the word. Psalm 126. Let's look at it. From verse 1 to verse 6. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Verse 2. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord had done great things for them. Glory! The Lord had done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Verse 4. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Amen. Now, verse 6. He that everybody wants to go, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So what's he showing you here? He's telling you this, the way God turned their captivity. So he's saying, turn again our captivity. Then let's review the way it happened the first time. That's what he's saying there. Praise the Lord. You know, being a pastor, it's not an easy job. Because many times, the Bible has this bias. You may vex, but this is what the Bible is what the Bible has said. And if you be faithful to the Bible, you have to preach it the way it is there. On this sacrificial giving, you can go on and on. Are there times where God will lead you to do something beyond the normal? Yes. And if God is not leading you to do something beyond the normal, it's not the God of the Bible. Sacrificial giving. Praise the Lord. I will just call some examples. I can't break all of them down. Proverbs 11:24, there is he that scattereth and yet increaseth, but there is he that withholdeth him and his meat and tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, he that watereth shall be watered also himself. You know the widow is of Zarephath, 1 Kings 17, verse 8 to 16. Elijah came and said, give me to eat first. The woman wanted to eat it and die. But Elijah came and said, give it me to eat first. It's funny how God even told Elijah, I have spoken to the woman, but the woman did not hear. If you read it there, he said, I have spoken to the widow. So there are some times where you want to hold on to that one you have. But God will press on it. God will insist on it. God, are you with me? So as you grow with God, God will lead you. However, if a person decides to refuse what God is saying, he will let you be. He won't kill you. But later, when you go and meet him again, he'll remind you, I told you about this thing. I told you about this thing. So learn it early. See, the way I am, it's not even easy for me to preach it. But it's Bible. And God is asking me to preach it. So I will preach it. Are you with me? Those of you who have been in this church, when last did you ever, in the last 7 years, when last did you hear Pastor David preach about sacrificial giving? Praise the Lord. You will see the example of Philippians 4 verse 11 to 19. That thing that Paul said, that prophetic declaration when he said, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. He was responding to the giving of the Philippian church. Are you with me? You will see in verse 18, it says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. It was in response to their giving. Now, somebody may ask, why is God asking us, okay, we don't give for transactions, so why is God asking us to give? It is because God wants to meet the needs of other people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Like in this case, he was meeting the needs of the Apostle Paul. So it's not like God, you are giving the money now, the money is not going to one bank in heaven, and God is using it to settle one issue in heaven. All the money is to settle an issue on earth. And so God, as you are using it to settle God's issue on earth, God is also settling your issue on earth. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Okay. However, that's not all. So we have talked about proper connection to God, right? We've talked about prophetic purpose, right? We've talked about sacrificial giving. Number four, and please pay attention, supernatural instruction. Supernatural instruction. After you have sown a seed, one of the ways you are going to receive the harvest is by the leadings of God. Meaning, if God is not guiding you, there are many things about prosperity you will not see. Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are mine. I am blessed in the morning. I am blessed in the evening. Abraham's blessings are mine. Well, who was Abraham? Get thee out of thy country, out of thy kindred, into a land that I will show you. When last did God speak to you and you obeyed? When was the last time you received an instruction from God about something to do and you did it? You see, no matter what you want to teach about prosperity, you cannot escape this one of having an intimate relationship with God. You cannot escape having that life where God can guide you, God can lead you, God can give you ideas, God can give you inspiration. Are you with me? Until we have more vibrant, intentional people who have a serious work with God, there is a limit to the kind of prosperity we will see. When last did God talk to you about your business? Have you ever sat before God and said, Lord, tell me something about this business. Tell me something to do. Give me an instruction. 2 Kings chapter 4, the woman that was in debt and went and met the prophet, and the prophet said, what do you have in your house? She said, I have nothing but a bottle of oil. And the prophet said, go and borrow vessels. Lock yourself in the room and begin to pour out of that bottle of oil. And the vessels became full. And then she met the prophet, and the prophet said, go and sell them. Some of you, God even actually gives you ideas, or you just toss it away. He just comes, you toss it away. He just comes, you toss it away. Are you with me? Supernatural instructions. Supernatural instructions. Praise the Lord. See, when God gives an instruction, no matter how foolish it is, just obey. It's better you obey and it did not work. Who knows this name I want to call? Strife Masiyiwa. If you know that name, raise your hand. Strife Masiyiwa. That was the founder of Econet. The Econet network. But you know Econet, right? Ah, Gen Z. Econet was the first mobile network in Nigeria. He was the one that brought GSM handsets to Nigeria. And he began in Zimbabwe. He was a Christian. He is a Christian. Very wealthy man. Billionaire in dollars. He was talking about how God helped him from the 2008 financial crisis. You know, in 2008, there was a global financial crisis. He was saying he was praying one day, praying in tongues for a while, and he had a nudge in his spirit. Listen to this, that he should go to all his investment banks in New York, Wall Street, the UK, and withdraw his money and convert it to gold. And so, he struggled with the instruction, but eventually he did it. And then the global financial crisis came. And after 2-3 years, the crisis ended. And then one of his bankers that works with JP Morgan Chase came and sat with him while in London. Asked him, Mr. Strife, tell me, how did you know that the crisis was coming? He said, can I tell you? He said, don't tell me it's a religious stuff. He said, that's why I will not tell you. See, until we begin to get into practical Christianity, there are some things you will not see. Practical Christianity, where God gives you instruction. Okay, look at Joseph. Joseph and Pharaoh, what was the instruction? Famine is coming. Get food and store. Get food and store. If we are really practicing Christianity the way it ought to be, like people have an intimate work with God. Okay, they are doing tax reforms. What are the things that God has said to people who are in those, who work in those sectors? How do you position yourself? Are you with me? You know, one time when I announced here that if you are a lawyer here, go and understand tax law very well. Who remembers when I did an announcement? That if you are a lawyer, yeah, go and understand tax law very well. An opportunity will come, you will see it. And God will give you ample time to prepare. Praise the Lord. Some people, the financial crisis they are going through, they made mistakes that they did not consult God about. You just say, crypto is working, you enter. Bah, bah. This one is working, you enter. That one is working, you enter. Sometimes ask God, this thing I want to do, what are you saying? So back to my story of Mr. Strife. He said there was a time he was looking for a lot of money to do a certain business. You know, in telecommunications, he had to build some masts when he was setting up the business. So he prayed in this. You see this praying in tongues thing? You cannot say you want to receive instructions. You have not even activated your spirit to receive instructions. He said he prayed in tongues and fasted for days. He was praying and fasting for days. And then a name dropped in his heart that he should go and meet the man and tell the man that he needs a lot of money, that money. It was, let's assume the money was 50 million naira. Are you with me? So he met the man and told the man, sir, he didn't tell the man how the nudge. Just felt, I feel you could help me. I need this 50 million naira to begin this business and this and this and this. The man looked at him and said, Mr. Strife, I've heard you, but I cannot help you. And I will not help you. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
He told him, I cannot help you and I will not help you except you allow me buy you by your company. Man was like, ah, why are you being so wicked? So Mr. Strive stood up and left. 1 month later, somebody else just called him out of the blues and said, excuse me, am I speaking to so and so person? He said, yes. I heard you need so and so money. Send us your company account. And they sent him the money. So he wanted to call the other guy that told him no and shame the guy and say, you see, you know, help me. I've gotten the money from somewhere else. But he also had a nudge to say, don't do that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Then some months after he did the business, they built Econet in Zimbabwe and it was doing well. Then one of the days, the man that helped him came to his office and said, Mr. Strive, I want to tell you something. Sit down. He said, do you know why we gave you that money? You know why we gave you that loan? He said, so and so person called us and told us to help you at all costs. So who is the person? It was the man that God told him to miss that said, I will not help you. That man that said, I will not help you. He said that night after he spoke to the man became so restless. He just felt like something compelling him. Call somebody to help Mr. Strife. When last did you respond to instruction? When last did you respond to instruction? When some of you, you need to go back and dust your altar again. You need to go back and dust it. I was talking to one of our sisters. She was telling us how her mother, anytime her mother is traveling, she puts money under her bag. There was a day the mother wanted to travel out of the country to one of these African countries. And there was a nudge within her. Don't put the money under. Put it on top. Only for her to, they brought, you know, in the airport, they would put bags. They would just, only for her to notice that when they shipped out the bag, she just called, there was a cut under her bag. Somebody tore the bag open and did not see money, but the money was on top. Because you see, God is a person. God knows what is really happening. God is watching everything. Are you following me? You really want to prosper? You cannot escape this one. This one. You cannot escape. Start practicing it. Go back to prayer. Go back. Go back to that proper connection with God. Are you seeing what I'm saying now? Go back to that proper connection with God. Sit. Learn how to stay with God. Let God talk to you. It is better you obeyed what God said and it seemed like it did not work. No problem. I'm training myself. Are you with me? I personally, before I entered the university, I had an encounter. God spoke to me, go and learn AutoCAD. I don't know if that's still relevant instruction now. AI has changed things. But go and learn AutoCAD. Go and learn this. Go and learn that. God, I got three instructions that period. Go and learn AutoCAD. Go and learn French. I did only one. I learned the AutoCAD. I did not learn French. And I will tell you how those things played out. It was 4 years later I understood those instructions. So, 2 years later into school, the education board of our school introduced AutoCAD as compulsory for all students. I became tutorial master. People started paying me to do tutorial. 2 years after, I had an IT opportunity in a company that speaks French, but I could not speak. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen to divine instructions. Train yourself. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. After supernatural instructions, there's so much to say about instructions, but you get it, right? You get the point. You know, Jesus told them, you have toiled all night, but cast your net to this side. Cast your net to this side. And when they cast their net, in obedience to Jesus' instruction, they got the harvest of fishes. Number 5, supernatural faith. That one, I don't need to explain it. You got that one yesterday, right? Tell your neighbor, have faith in God. You cannot see, you cannot want prosperity and you are talking poverty consistently. Nigeria is just hard. Nigeria is just hard. Things are just difficult. Things are just... You don't want supernatural prosperity and you are talking about supernatural poverty. Oh, you don't know? You just keep declaring poverty? No. Walk in faith. Walk in faith. Amen. Amen. And finally, for this night, supernatural prosperity is a result of divine power. Is a result of divine power. Praise the Lord. For two reasons. Number one, the first reason for divine power in supernatural prosperity is because there is a devil that attacks people's finances. Do you know that Job did not know that it was the devil that came to attack his finances? Job did not know. Our great father of faith, Papa Kenneth Hagin, said one time he had an encounter with Jesus. And Jesus walked into the room and was teaching him many things. And one of the things Jesus said to him is, you must practice how to declare like this. Satan, take your hands off my finances. Did you hear what I just said? This prayer, it was Jesus that taught Kenneth Hagin, pray like this. So let's practice. Say after me, in the name of Jesus, Satan, take your hands off my finances. Amen. Say it again, in the name of Jesus, Satan, take your hands off my finances. Take your hands off my business. Take your hands off my supplies. Amen. Glory. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. Divine power. Sometimes, when you see so many issues that are just draining resources from you, learn to speak that way. Learn to speak that way. Don't say, oh, don't say, oh, it's just life. Some things are just life, but some things are not just life. Let me tell you something. Any serious businessman you know, and that does business in millions, in billions, they pray. Oh. I've stayed with some of them. The kind of prayer is going on in their house. Yeah? You have a billionaire contract to sign, and you are sleeping. Sons of darkness have gone to strange places. They have rubbed chalk here, done like all kinds of things. You are just eating chicken and all kinds of things that you are shouting Ebenezer. Eh? Fasting, you cannot fast. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 17. You will see. You will see something. Zechariah chapter 1. You know verse 17. It says, my city's true prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. Verse 18, then lifted I up mine eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be these? And he answered me, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And the Lord showed me four carpenters. Then said I, what come these to do? And he said, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. But these are come to fray them. Old English. Now, he's telling you that those four horns, they scattered Judah so that no man did lift up his head. Are you seeing this? This is in the spirit, oh. This is in the spirit. I once prayed for someone in this church. When I prayed for him, my eyes opened in the spirit and I saw chains on his legs. His legs were chained. And I was breaking, you know what they say, iron breaker. I was breaking the chains on his legs. That's the guy that has gotten a visa out of the country now. The realm of the spirit is real. These things are real. I see, I pity people who don't take the spirit realm serious. I was just looking at you. Oh. That's one level. The second reason for divine power on the subject of prosperity is that sometimes you need higher levels of grace to command higher levels of results. For instance, I want to ask you, are you telling me that same river that Jesus told Peter to fish. Are you telling me that there was no fish there? The fish was there. So why did they come when Jesus spoke? The level on Peter was different from the level on Jesus. The kind of grace Peter was operating with was different from what Jesus was operating with. So when Jesus said, "All cast your net to this side," do you know Jesus did not say fishes come? Jesus did not say, "Oh, ye fishes come." He just told Peter, "Cast your net." And the fishes had intelligence to respond to the voice of Jesus. And it came to where Peter, oh my God, Peter was. I pray for you, a mantle of prosperity is coming on you. A mountain of prosperity is coming on you. A mountain of prosperity is coming on you. Power. Say after me, power. Like my friend, one of my pastor friends said, power is not powder. You will see in 1 Chronicles 13, verse 12 and verse 14, you will see how that the ark of God was put in the house of Obed-Edom. 1 Chronicles 13, from verse 12 to 14. The ark of the Lord was left in the house of Obed-Edom because the ark had killed somebody mistakenly. Did not handle the ark well and he died. Uzzah. And so it's like they did not like Obed-Edom. They wanted him to die. So they went and left the ark in his house. And after 3 months, they saw that the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. What's the connection? They were able to put a connection that as long as the ark was being taken care of by Obed-Edom, that power was attracting something. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, he maketh rich. And he added no sorrow with it. Tonight, a blessing is coming upon you. A blessing is coming upon you. A blessing is coming upon you. Remember Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3. After Solomon sacrificed 1,000 burnt offering, you will see this from 1 Kings chapter 3 from verse 3 to 15. After he sacrificed 1,000 burnt offering, God came to him by night and asked him, "What do you want?" Do you know that Solomon did not even say he wants riches? So you can read it. He just said, "Give me wisdom." And God said, "I will add riches to you." That means, so how will God add riches? People who say money is all about hustling. How did God add the riches? God just said, "I've added it to you." So by impartation, that was how Solomon became wealthy. It was first by impartation before industry. You will see 1 Kings chapter 4. The Bible says, and God gave Solomon largeness of heart. Ha! Bible, eh? Look at 1 Kings chapter 4 verse 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. What do you mean, largeness of heart? You see, supernatural greatness, eh? Supernatural abundance, supernatural increase is first a heart thing. It is capacity before content. When that impartation comes on you, like it's going to come on you today, your capacity is enlarged. Oh my God. There are some people, if you like, give them 10 million, they will reduce to 50K. That's what their capacity can carry. That's what they are inside. Let me tell you something. Even if you don't agree with what I'm saying, you will know what I'm talking about intrinsically. There are some people, once you look at them, if you're not careful, you can just size them. You can just size them and say, somebody was complaining to me. He went to bid for a job. The job was a small contract, a contract of about 10 million. Okay, sorry. But it's just a small contract. Amen. From where I stand, that's a small contract, but it was a contract of 10 million. So we got there, and the person looked at him and said, no, we can't give this guy this money. He will run away with the money. They had sized him that your capacity,
It's too small. If we give you 10 million, you will all run away. You will all run mad. You know, there's some people that there's a money they will see. They'll just say, hey! Hey! You give Pastor David 10 million, it finishes in 2 minutes. I'm serious. In 2 minutes. You people know what I'm talking about now. Equipment alone. Just go and look for one better keyboard to buy for church. One better keyboard is 8 million. Wait till remain. Wait till remain. Praise the Lord. Their capacity. Capacity. See, after me, capacity. And in the name of Jesus, your capacity is increasing. He gives you largeness of heart. When largeness of heart comes upon you, your the way you see things will be different. Your eyes, the way you're looking at things will be different. It will be different. Because you have expanded inside. Expanded inside. Ah, Jesus. Lord, your people receive largeness of hearts. Supernatural power. A mantle of prosperity. A mantle of increase. A mantle of prosperity. A mantle of increase. You know, Bishop Oyedepo shared one testimony years ago. He shared this testimony in 19... He first shared this testimony in 1999. Ah. People, don't join anybody to insult him. Oh. I'm telling you, that man laid hands on me. The day he laid hands on me like this, bah! I could not sleep for 2 nights. Because I know what, and it took 2 nights for what he gave me to enter. You know when you're installing software, to be installed like this. It took 2 nights. Can I shock you? That thing that he gave me is still here. I was giving a testimony. You know, there are testimonies you hear. If not that you know that the person is a Christian, you say, you be liar. Ah, no. You are not careful. You just say, what? Eh? What is that? What? Excuse me, sir. What did you say? They were building Faith Tabernacle. They are 50,000 seater. I'm talking about capacity. Eh? Money finished. The money to build it finished, and they have 2 months left to the dates they already announced for dedication. Money finished. So they came and met him and said, Papa, money has finished. He said, don't say money has finished. You know, faith, our faith lineage, we have it in abundance. I thought you would say it after me. He said, don't say money has finished. He said, sir, please leave that one first. Money has finished. Then they said, okay, let us pause the building and just announce to the church it cannot work again. He now said, is it your building? So are you seeing the combination of supernatural faith and capacity? I'm just showing you, I broke everything down. He said, is it your building? It's not your building. He said, we'll believe God. So they began to pray in the spirit. Pray, and left it. One day, he was doing inspection work around the church. One human being came. Say, excuse me, sir. I was going from Calabar to Sokoto, and God said I should branch this place. How can you be going from Calabar to Sokoto? What are you doing at Ota? What are you doing in Ogun State? How? Say, and God said I should branch this place and give you this money. He gave him the money in the Ghana must go. It was the exact money they needed to complete it. How much? 186 million, 1999. Is it capacity? See, there is a level that, you know, the Bible says, he anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over. So there is a kind of oil that comes upon you that affects your cup. There is an oil that comes upon you that affects your cup. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And tonight, something is coming upon you. Something is coming upon you. Something is coming upon you. Something is coming upon you.
Something is coming upon you. Your capacity is enlarging. Your capacity is enlarging. Your capacity is enlarging. In the name of Jesus. Jump on your feet and begin to pray.